start with a question first. In our Christian faith, what do you think is a scary thing? Okay, now this is a very broad question. Anything can be scary in a Christian faith. But it's a paradoxical question, right? Christian faith, how can it be scary? But what do you think is something scary in the Christian faith? Today, we want to focus on, one of the scary things in our Christian faith is when we feel that this God is a distant God. So, like what Qiaoyi said, far away. But here, the blame is on God. It's like, God is so distant from us. Or that God is a very abstract God. And sometimes we hear Christians complain about that. This God feels so far away. And this God is like so abstract. It's like so chim, so profound. I cannot feel Him. I cannot touch Him. I cannot see Him. How do I worship this invisible God? It's very abstract. And so, the reason why I'm going to talk about prayers today is, so that we can get closer to this invisible God. Because the logic is the same. Just like, if you don't talk to your physical parents on earth, you will never get close to them. You don't know what's on their mind. You cannot taste their love and concern for you. You only have this theoretical understanding, oh, this is my parents by DNA. But without the talking from day to day, from little things to the serious matter, not just when you want to get money from them, when you talk to the parents, then you will start to, get to share the parents' joy and woes and priorities and so on. So same thing with God. If we fail in our prayers, then this God will forever be like a very conceptual God. And that's why we always say, prayer is one of the most critical aspects of Christian living. But the thing is, some people say, I really pray, but I still feel that God is very abstract. Now, what is the reason for that? Wei Xiang, you ever answer any question?
I think you just pray continually.
Pray what?
I just pray for self-praying. I don't really... So you just pray because it's a routine for you to pray.
Okay. There's a lack of connection. So even if some people pray, right, like what you say, you just pray to fulfill a duty as a Christian, or the prayer is very much, one-sided, a one-way communication. So as with humans, psychology, right, one-way communication always fails. So a lot of people, they say, I pray already, I pour out my heart's desires to God, I already told Him what I wanted, but, I still feel He's far away, I still didn't see Him. The problem with their prayer is they pray with an approach that is far away from communication. They are either reporting or they are directing, but it's not communication. They are not conversing with God. So then you ask, but is it anything wrong for us to pour our requests to God? And some people, the reason why they still cannot connect to God in prayers is because their prayer is very much based on self-interest and self-agenda, self-motive. But then you say, is it wrong to, let God know what we desire? It's nothing wrong. But the key must be what? You can tell God, you can feel free to tell God whatever you want, whatever you desire. But prayer is not just stopping at that. Prayer is, you tell God what you want, and you want to hear from Him. Is this what He wants? What does He think about this? Just like, if you are dating someone, you bring the person to your family and you want to know your parents, what do they think about this person? So besides telling God what we want to score well in school, we want to attain certain things in life, but we also want to hear what has God got to say towards our desire. Is He in agreement or is He not supportive, etc.? And so prayer, the fundamental thing is about communication. This prayer, this word, this terminology has been tainted with too much preconception in Christian lives also. Because a lot of people have their own definition of prayer. But essentially, true prayer is real talking to God. So it's not like following any formula. I hope by now none of you is following any formula when you pray. Not to say the formula is wrong, but it cannot be just that. When I first started to learn about prayer, later we'll talk about the Lord's Prayer. It's like a formula also. You must start with a certain thing and with a certain thing. But it's not that rigid because God is not a robot. When I was younger, the first kind of prayer formula taught to me was this X, adoration, confession of sin, thanksgiving, supplication. Some of you have heard that before, right? Maybe it's too old for you. Okay, anyway. So, but prayer is not about, you must follow a certain sequence, a certain formula. Oh, so some people, the acts, right? Adoration. So it's not that, oh, you need to praise God first. Make him feel very happy, feel very shook. Then he will answer your supplication at the end of it. It's not just about the formula. But prayer, what God really wants. So what constitutes a real and God-pleasing prayer? Is two things. One, you glorify God. The other thing is a heart-to-heart. God looks at the heart. It's a heart-to-heart. You may pray in broken language, English, Chinese, Hokkien, whatever. But if it's a real heart-to-heart interaction with God, that's what God is looking out for. And so, the whole objective of prayer is what? As what Wei Xiang said, it's not just fulfilling a duty, but it's what the title today says, is to get close to God. So a lot of people, how do they measure the success and effectiveness of their prayer? If you realize a common misconception is, oh, prayer is effective when, what happens? Xiao Yi, prayer is effective when?
True.
Yeah, I get what I want, right? That is a common conception, and that's why I ask you. Because, okay, so, but prayer is truly effective not just when you get what you want, but when you feel closer to God. Even when sometimes you don't get what you want. But strangely, amazingly, in the course of it, you get closer to God. And that is even more powerful, more amazing than getting what we want. Okay, so prayer ultimately wants to draw our mind to know God better, want to draw our spirit to believe Him more, and want to draw our hearts to feel closer to Him. So, you know, it's spirit, logic and mind, and heart, everything. So prayer wants to get us near to God. So let's read from Jesus' prayer, prayer teaching from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. So from Jesus' teaching on how to pray, we will get some idea on how do we pray in a better way. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Okay, so this then is how you should pray. I think you all can memorize this, right? Don't need to read, right? Anyone want to recite? So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Hey, by the way, baptism class, are you all taught to memorize this? In my generation, baptism class, we need to memorize this, then you can pass. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So later on, we'll go through verse by verse. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so it's a very short and sweet so-called sample prayer that Jesus had taught his disciples and taught us. But again, just like I mentioned, prayer is not about some formula. So today we want to get to the essence of this sample prayer. But before that, I want to share with you about three hurdles to prayers. So, you know, this is something that we may battle with from day to day. So what are certain hurdles, obstacles to us having meaningful prayers? So I want to say three hurdles to meaningful prayer. You know, some people, they just pray for prosperity. Maybe they won't struggle with this. But the first hurdle towards meaningful prayer is a person prays without, okay, RS is relationship. Without relationship, sorry, I have a lot of, I don't know my shorthand and your shorthand, is it the same? Without relationship with God. So this is the first hurdle. You know, some people, sometimes they like to ask Christians, hey, can you pray for me? I have this issue. I have this sickness. I have this debt issue. I have this relationship issue. Pray for me that, you know, your God can help me. And sometimes we pray for them out of mercy and in the hope that they will come into the gospel. And sometimes the answer really come true because God also want to win them over. And sometimes not even they just ask us to pray, but they themselves also call on the name of Jesus. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you evangelize and people come to you, we will encourage them, you pray for yourself, lah. You know, you have this issue, you have this study stress, you have this, insomnia or whatever. You pray to God and let God reveal to you. And so they really pray. And amazingly, out of God's grace, God answered their prayer. But, you know, but after a few incidents, or even after a long period of time, maybe after many years, they still pray like that. Only when they have needs or emergency, they come to God. But they never really enter into a relationship with God. Meaning they never really acknowledge God as their personal savior. They never even go to church. They are not interested, you know, to grow their Christian faith. So even though we can say that their previous prayer answers, are they from God? Are they from God? Yes, of course, because out of God's mercy, He can even answer prayers of those without faith or even without relationship with Him. But in the long run, we know this is not what God will continuously do. Because initially, God may still have mercy on such an ignorant person, give them some sweetness, give them some prayer answers. But in the long run, God will want to turn the person to Him. And if for a long period of time, there's never a real relationship between the person and God, then the person will start to find that in this relation, this prayer answer that he's receiving is getting like more and more diluted. He cannot see God so clearly anymore. And so God, he later will read, God's concern is, why did God keep revealing to us in prayer answer? Because he's concerned about relationship. So later on we'll read, you know, when Jesus first taught us how to pray, he first started with our Father in heaven. So an effective prayer is when a person starts to realize that, or starts to acknowledge that, you know, this God, He's not just the God of the universe. He is my God. He's not just a God, but He is my healer. You know, I need healing in mental areas, in spiritual areas, in emotion areas. This God is my healer. This God is my provider. This God is my strength. And this God is my everything. And what sums it all? My Father. This God is my Father. It sums all. Because the Father will provide healing. The Father will provide us with survival needs. The Father will provide us with love. The Father provides us with protection. So when we say that our relationship with God is that of a father and child, this Father is a summary of everything that God can do for us. Because no father will harm his child. And so, if we want a breakthrough in our prayer life, we need to see God not just as an abstract God or a nobody or some very random deity. We need to really see God as someone personal to us. He is directly related to us and He's interested to grow the relationship with us. So in other words, what hinders prayer? Or if you're more interested, what hinders receiving prayer answers? Is when we focus on the outcome, but we ignore the relationship. We ignore the depth of intimacy with God. And God is not a fool. You know, if we are more interested in getting the results and outcome, but we are not interested to build our relationship with Him, then you will start to see that, you know, our prayer don't seem to get the answers we want. Okay, then the second hurdle. Second hurdle is what? Second hurdle in prayer is we don't know the promise of God when we pray. So, two key things about God's promise is, one, God is already with us. And the key word is already. You know, in prayer, sometimes some people, they wasted their energy in prayer because they keep praying about things that already was given to them. You know, some people, they just keep telling God, prove to me that you are with me, prove to me, you know, prove to me this and prove to me that. But actually God, so the thing is, when we start with an unassured foundation, our faith will be easily shaken. For example, if we are not sure that God is already with us, then if God is with us, it's not our foundation. What will naturally be our foundation? Outcomes, tangible consequences. So every time we will see, oh, do I score well? Did God make a way for me? If the answer is no, means God is not with me. Because that outcome becomes our foundation. So it's very dangerous to start from that premise. Because that will lead you to a very shaky understanding of God. But if we start from the foundation in prayer that God is already with me, no matter what happens, and from that foundation, you develop your thought process, you continue to spring your how you confirm the truth, it leads to very different conclusion. Since God is with me, even if I cannot handle my schoolwork for now, but there must be a reason. There must be a lesson God wants me to learn. There must be grace hidden in the mess. So it leads to very, very different conclusion based on how much we understand God's promise. So God's promise, again, I say, so for someone who doesn't really know the promise of God, his prayer will always be locked in misunderstanding towards God and in discouragement, because he cannot understand why I pray for A, God didn't give me A and give me something very serious and negative. But if you know God's promise, you will be able to find an answer that leads back to God's love. And God's promise is also about purpose. So if you really want to have a connection with God, so say, not just with God, you know, with human-to-human interaction also. If I talk to you, let's say I talk to Qiao Yi, I keep talking about, you know, 生孩子, to raise your child, then she's not even having any child. I talk to her, she also find me crazy or irrelevant or, you know. So if we keep talking to God, you know, God, you know, I want this, I want that, but we didn't mention anything, we didn't relate in any way to the purpose of God. God is patient and God is forgiving, but God will be sitting there and wondering, you're telling me all these requests, but it has nothing to do with my concern, my purpose for you. I mean, we need to know that, you know, God didn't bring his child into this world for just to live like any man on the street. I mean, God is so wise. He has so many grand plans. He doesn't just bring Wei Xiang, Hui Ping, Qiao Yi into this world to live just like any normal being in NUS. I mean, if he wants to do that, then what is his whole purpose? What is his grand plan? So, if we want to have a meaningful conversation with God, we need to link back to the heartbeat of God, to the purpose that God has designated for us, his children. I mean, of course, we can still ask God for girlfriend. We can still ask God for good result. We can still ask God for health. But we need to relate it to the purpose of God. So if God give you good health, recently I done a simple health check, I was so happy God give me good results. So the result is optimal. Optimal is the best of the best, you know. So I was like very happy. But after being very happy, I need to ask, then God give me this healthy body for what? Is it just to sit there and watch TV all day long? Or is it you know, to go holidaying? You know, now I can climb mountains, I can go and this place and holiday, that place and holiday. But God has a reason why he gives us good health. Then I just went to visit the sister in hospital, right? So both of us are daughters of God. So one is good health, one have certain health issue. But what is God's purpose? So in her, so very amazing, this sister that I just visited in NUH, oh, she has, I mean, despite her unstable health condition, but she has strong faith. I mean, her faith up and down, but today when I saw her, her faith was quite rock bottom a few weeks ago, but now her faith was lifted up. You know, she can start to see how God helped her, and she can start to give thanks, and she can see how God helped her step by step. So there's also a purpose. You know, when God gives us health, and anyway, all healthy person will one day become unhealthy also as we age. So we cannot just say only there's a purpose of God and glory of God in health, but in sickness, there's also the glory and work of God. So when we pray and we relate it, so you know, when I see how this sister or any sick brethren who continue to show faith and joy and thanksgiving in the Lord, that itself proves the power of the gospel. That itself gives hope to people who are suffering. That itself points to the unthinkable glory of God. So when you pray, someone who doesn't know the promise of God will always get confused by this negative situation especially. But when you know the purpose of God, you will find answers easier. So of course, again I say, we can ask God for a job, a good grade, teacher to have favor on us, good health, whatever, money, enough money to spend. We can even ask God for fun, you know, you are going US soon. We can ask God for a very fruitful, unforgettable trip, whatever. But for what? What's the reason? We need to connect to the purpose of God. So that, you know, next time you can share with people, you know, don't think that Christians are very pitiful people who cannot enjoy life. You know, God also gave us nice things to enjoy. You know, this become one of your testimony. So if that's your purpose, then your, even your touring becomes very, not eventful, very purposeful in God. Okay, so this is the second hurdle, doesn't know the promise of God. And what is the third? And the third hurdle is a very common one, I would say. And this is one of the key reasons why many people cannot hear God, even if they pray in the name of Jesus. And what is this third hurdle? The third hurdle is we pray with the heart which is not prepared to listen to God. Listen to God also means to obey God. Okay, so some people, this one you cannot fool God, but this one only you can know in your own heart, because outside it's very hard to judge you. So, you know, some people, they can say, oh God, I pray for my finances. But then, they just want to pray for God to bless them financially. They didn't think about financial management. So if God blessed me with a lot of money, how am I supposed to use and steward all these finances? Or some people, they pray, you know, God, I'm very busy, you know, all of you students, you, I no time on my, no time on my hand, you know, I have so many things to do. So now if we pray for God to give us more time to do our things, at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, are we prepared after this prayer or during this prayer to let God direct us in how we manage our time? So meaning to say, some things we need to cut from our schedule, slacking too much time, or, you know, too much time on the handphone, or too much time daydreaming, or whatever. Are we open to let God, you know, deal with the way we manage our time? So this is something we need to think through. I in my own personal faith encounter with God, I realized that, you know, even though we are weak sometimes, and sometimes we may be a bit clueless, but every time when we pray with a heart prepared to obey whatever God reveals to us, high chance God will reveal to you, and high chance God will show you amazing things after you obey. But many a times when we are too fixated on our own ideals, our own plans, our own ways, then you just realize you get more and more frustrated. The more you pray, the more you feel God is like against you. You know, the more I pray for something, God keep blocking it. So you feel very frustrated. But when you pray with a heart to obey God, you realize prayer will show you that God is faithful. Okay, so these are the three hurdles that is for you to think through and check whether you have certain such obstacle. Then now we get into understanding the essence of the prayer that Jesus taught just now. So the real prayer contents, okay, to get closer to God. Okay, my handwriting is so ugly. Okay, it's not like that usually. In a card, it's very nice one. Okay, so, okay, too many things I don't write, but you just, I write short form. So the first thing, the essence, again I said, it's not a formula, but we need to grasp the essence of this prayer. So the first thing that Jesus taught us is relationship, right? Because he first pointed out to us, when we pray like this, our Father in heaven. So this is very amazing. Enjoy the effectiveness of prayers the moment you go to God with the right attitude. That I'm coming to God in the identity of his child, not as a slave. You know, the way you talk to, next time you work, right? The way you talk to your boss. Hey boss, can you please give me a pay rise? Boss, can I claim for this? Boss, can you extend the deadline? The way you talk to your boss and the way you talk to your parents, of course, is different, right? I mean, with the boss, it's a bit, you know, the boss will give you, you know, you have to listen to the, you know, the boss may not, you know, treat you with grace, but with, you know, a lot of rules and whatever. But God, our Father in heaven, is different. So how to start a prayer right is very important. Because when you come to God with the assurance that this is our loving, gracious, powerful Father, you have this assurance that whatever I pray, God will turn it into my benefit and not harm, even if I get or don't get what I want. So relationship gives us the assurance. And this is not just about relationship. This is our Father in heaven, meaning he's not just a Father. He is a powerful, almighty, all-knowing Father. Someone, in other words, is totally dependable. It's totally trustworthy. And then, second, hallowed be your name. So, here, you need to understand the name of God. So, God is what? Now, what is the name of God? I mean, God is God. So, the Bible says God is what? God is love, right? And the Bible describes God in many, many terms. So, what is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is God is love, God is kindness, God is peace. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And God is victory. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is provider. And God is healer. You know, a lot of Hebrew terms, I don't confuse you, but you know, God is also our healer. And so that is God's name. You remember, so when you pray, in other words, hallowed be your name means you remember the characteristic, the power of God. So God's name is not worry, it's not fear, it's not condemnation, it's not anxiety, it's not curse. You know, so of course sometimes when we come to God, we have all these emotions in us. We feel fearful, we feel lost about future, we feel very helpless, etc. Or we feel very hurt, we are wounded by whoever. But hallowed be your name. God is the comfort. God is my shepherd. God is love. And so we dwell on His name and we find strength just by reminding ourselves of how great God is. So, you know, when you pray, hallowed be your name, your focus shifts from my current problems into God is my Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, into my current illnesses, maybe spiritual sickness, into God is my healer, into my current, you know, loneliness, into God is love. So you shift your focus, and this shifting of focus, if you're able to shift it, is already one of the prayer answers, because by not focusing on the problem and focusing on God, your heart is already strengthened. And so hallowed be your name. And then the third, anyone without referring to the Bible know what's the third one? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Something, yeah. Your kingdom come, but it's together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so, in other words, God's will always goes with His kingdom. And that's why just now I mentioned, you know, people who doesn't know the purpose of God, they always get stuck in prayer. It's like, they just feel like their prayers fall on deaf ears. Because God will be thinking, you don't even know what I want. You just rattle on and babble and murmur on and on. But God's will is always connected to His kingdom. So in other words, if we want to hear from God, then we need to relate everything we encounter to the kingdom purpose of God. In other words, we can pray with a kingdom mindset. Okay, what is a kingdom mindset? Something like, you know, something, everything that you encounter, whether it's good or bad, you can ask this question. How does this thing that I encounter or that I'm facing, how does it benefit God's kingdom? You know, me having a lot of homework, what has it got to do with the building of God's kingdom? Have you asked this question before? Me feeling very stressed right now in NUS. Or me being so busy right now in NUS. Or me now studying this course in NUS. What has it got to do with the kingdom of God? Even if you do not know the answer, but you pray in that direction, slowly, slowly, you will know. You know, when I first, last time when I was studying, when I prayed like that, you know, God, help me connect my studies with your kingdom. When I first started praying like that, I know nothing about how is it related, because it seems very far apart. My study is my study, God's kingdom is God's kingdom. You know, I'm not studying mission works. So, what am I studying? How does it contribute to the kingdom of God? It's not so obvious. But then, amazingly, as I start to pray in that direction, God slowly revealed to me, you know, the inferiority complex that I face in my studies, or the helplessness that I face in the studies, or my occasional anxiety. Actually, in the course of it, it shapes me, it pushes me to call out to God, it helped to build my faith, it do a lot of wonderful things spiritually inside me. So in that sense, it is connected to the kingdom of God, because that journey provides me with a lot of testimonies on God's realness, on God's real presence, even on the ground with people like us, you know, with nobodies, you know, nobodies like us, as in students. Usually people say, you're just student, well, you have no achievement yet. But God is on the ground. Even when we are still a student with no achievement, no earnings, God is there participating in our life. So when you start to ask and pray with a kingdom mindset, you'll be able to make sense out of what you're going through. And so, you know, sometimes when we pray with a kingdom mindset and somebody, for example, hurt us or shortchanged us, then we will start to... So if you pray with a kingdom mindset, it's very different from someone who pray with an intention to get a yes or no or tangible answer from God. You know, if I pray without a kingdom mindset and somebody bullies me, I will say, God, please punish that person. If you punish the person, I know you're a good God. You're on my side. Then after you know God punishes that person, then you feel very good. You know, you feel very happy. But if we pray with a kingdom mindset, then we'll start to ask, why is it that this person looked down on me when I'm a child of God? Why does this person hurt me with his words when I'm a child of God? And then you ask, how does this connect to the kingdom of God? Then, you know, God may reveal to you the process of forgiveness, the process of turning away from seeking approval from men to getting reward from God. So in the course of this, God gives you valuable transformation in your life and lessons also. So praying with a kingdom mindset always gives you more answers than if we just pray with a tangible mindset. When I say more, because I also understand, sometimes you pray with a kingdom mindset, you still cannot understand what God is doing. But I can guarantee you, when you pray with a kingdom mindset, you have more answers and less ironies, less misunderstanding with God than if you pray with a very tangible, earthly kind of mindset. Okay, so this is a kingdom. Okay, I shall not test you. So, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven. Then the fourth one is something we really like. What is that? This is a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they skip the first three. They immediately go to the number four. So I think with this hint, you know what's number four, right? This is the best thing we always like. Give us today our daily bread. So a lot of people, the moment they pray, oh God, you know, I need this, I need that. I have this desire, I have that desire. Okay, so this daily bread is not that we cannot pray. But we need to pray under the context of the first three. Otherwise, you will get very confused if you don't get what you want. I mean, in the kind of expectation that you have. I mean, God will give you good things, not bad things. But, you know, sometimes you cannot interpret God's answer correctly if we didn't pray from in the context of the first three. So daily bread, have two things here. Right, daily and bread. So this bread is our needs. This bread means, you know, what we need for survival on earth. It could be our spiritual strength. You know, a lot of people, when I talk about survival needs, they just think about bread and butter issue. But actually, many people forgotten that in order to survive well in this world, the most important thing we need is spiritual strength. You know, people with spiritual strength, they can fast for 40 days, 40 nights. We read a lot in the Bible, right? And they won't die. It doesn't mean that food, water is the most important. I mean, to the people of the world, maybe they think food, water, air are the three most important things. Of course, they are important. But spiritual needs, spiritual strength is something that we need to survive in this world. And that's why we see, you know, some people are saying, you know, in this world, the hardest, some people say, like, I don't know, some people say hardest to heal is... hardest illness to cure is mental problem. You know, strange, they have good things in life. They have a job. They have happy family. They have even physical health. But when they are mental, just cannot be at rest. They commit suicide. They do a lot of silly things, or they are just miserable for no apparent logical reason. So, how to solve, for example, mental problem? We need spiritual strength. And even though we are not mental patients here, we know. We need daily bread. We need spiritual strength. Of course, we need physical energy to deal with your workload. We need friends. Otherwise, we are very lonely. We need money to eat and to, you know, to live. We need a lot of things. So we can pray for them, of course. And then, daily. Daily means what? give us to today. So don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, you can talk a little bit about tomorrow, but don't get over-absorbed in your needs tomorrow, because that's where faith comes in. And that's what I mentioned on Sunday also. So today, God says, you just need to worry for today. If today, actually, a lot of times when you confirm God's blessing and you look back, you find it very amazing. As long as you have sufficient grace for today, you'll be amazed, you know, the things that you worry about in future is never as bad as you anticipated. Or when the day comes, you realize as long as today you are still connected with God, today you still are well supplied by God, when the tomorrow comes, amazingly, you will be surprised by the amount of strength that God can give you to deal with your fears of tomorrow. So, daily bread. So, God wants us to focus on today. Because if you cannot even be assured and count your blessing and find strength in what God has given us today, and you keep worrying about tomorrow, then your today is also gone, you know. Actually, today is alright, but because you keep worrying about tomorrow, even your today is wasted. So God tells us to pray for daily bread, not bread for tomorrow. Because, why? Because the bread for tomorrow will come. And then after that is forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven others. So, here it talks about forgiveness, of course, and we know this, of course, means, you know, we need to repent, confess our sins before God. And the amazing truth for you to confirm is, let me ask you, is it easy to love someone? This is a general question. If I didn't give you a person in mind, you may think, oh, okay, not too difficult. But let me ask you, is it easy to love someone who offended you, who have wronged you? It's not so easy. But the truth is, those who are forgiven much will love much also. And that is the amazing power of the gospel. God knows it's hard to forgive people who hurt us. It's hard to forgive unlovely people. But those of us who are always reminded of how much God has forgiven us will find it easier to embrace all kinds of unlovable people. And so, forgive us as we have forgiven others. So, but this is not just talking about forgiveness. Just like I mentioned, those who are forgiven much will love much. And love means you intercede for others. So here, you know, you talk about our relationship with God. You also talk about our relationship with others. So of course, in prayer, God also desires that we intercede for people in our lives. So prayer is a time, you know, if you have really nothing to pray. Some people say, God is so good to me. I have no needs. I have no requests from God. You know, everything is happy about my life, so I've got nothing to pray. This is a strange paradox. God made you so happy until you have nothing to pray. But if one day you have nothing to pray, remember God also wants us to keep interceding for people in our life. It could be our non-believing or even believing family members, our classmates, our brethren in church, so go and find out who are sick in church. And then you can start interceding for them. So this is where, you know, during prayer, God wants us to look to His love and share His love with people around us. Okay, and then 6 is something that I think we always pray also. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so here is when we are praying, we need to, so here is nothing new to you, but what this means is, during prayer is a time where we, you know, raise our sensitivity, raise our antenna up to what? To detect the unseen cunning work of the devil. I mean, we all know at the back of our mind, given our period in church, we know there's a devil and the devil is at work. But sometimes we got distracted from his work. We got busy and overwhelmed with things of life that we forgot that the devil is actually lurking around in our relationship, in our school, in our own thoughts, in our own hearts, trying to pull us away from God. But prayer is a time we, you know, when we pray against the evil, pray against temptation, we start to get our antenna up again to detect any possible lies. You know, why is my heart? You know, sometimes the psalmist will ask, Lord, why is my heart downcast? Or, you know, is there any doubts inside me that we need to resolve? Is there any lies from the evil one that I need to get rid of? So this is a time where, you know, we pray that God help us be sensitive to sin, to things that are not pleasing to Him. And, I mean, it's inevitable that, you know, when we talk about temptation, sometimes even Christians, we also slip in a moment of folly. But it's alright, as I said just now. We just confess and get God's forgiveness. But what is important here is not just increase our sensitivity towards evil. Here is a time where we cleanse our hearts again. And what does it mean by cleansing our heart? Is it very abstract? How do you take out your heart and wash it? What does it mean by cleansing our heart? In layman term is make it submissive to God. This is a clean heart. I mean, our heart is deceitful above all else, right? We have been hearing that verse. So, the evil one is trying to attack us. Starting from where? From our heart. Before the action comes out, it's always the heart that got corrupted first. So, if we want to escape from temptation and the evil one, and from even depression, from, you know, other insinuation from the devil, we need to cleanse our heart and make it submissive to God. And then with that right heart, you realize you'll be better able to resist the devil, to spot his traps and not fall into them. Okay, so this is the sixth one, and this is a final one. Final one is what? For yours is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. So here, this one is, this final, it's not just a cliche closing, or, you know, I must close with this, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. But this is, what this means is actually, you know, if God is real, if God is alive, then after prayer, God will show you His works. God will show you His evidences of answering your prayer. And when you see that, you know, after prayer, you receive comfort, you receive answers, you receive strength, then you'll be able to see more of God's glory and power. And, you know, sometimes the amazing thing is, if you pray correctly, like you pray with a kingdom mindset, certain things you don't even need to ask. But you realize after prayer, even things that you don't ask, good things follow you. So that's how amazing God can answer prayer. Because God will always reward those who come to Him in faith. You know, last time when I pray, I think so. Let me check. Last time when I pray, I never asked for promotion because I think you all know my story in TBRC, right? I just tell my boss, you can pay me the same salary forever and ever because I don't want to work overtime. I just want to have a work-life balance. So I told my boss, you don't have to pay me OT. No. You don't have to promote me. I can be like this forever in my whole work life. But as I keep praying, I try lah. I mean, I fail also, but I try. Then things that I don't request for, actually, I don't request also, I thought I'm not qualified also. But God add blessings to me. So occasionally, He give me some promotion. Occasionally, He give me some nice favor along the way. So with more and more evidences, in fact, prayers that you didn't even request for and good things added to you, you see that God is indeed glorious. God is indeed gracious. God is indeed faithful and powerful. So this is the essence of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. Sorry, this is number 2. And so in conclusion, I share about so many things about prayer, the hurdles and the essence of prayer. And the conclusion, the whole objective, the whole idea of prayer is what? So this is one thing that I will leave with you. The whole idea of prayer is we get closer to God. That's the title today. So this is something for us to evaluate. If after praying, you don't feel you're closer to God, then there's more things to work on. Maybe you have prayed in the wrong way. Maybe, why are you not closer to God? Because you prayed with a wrong focus. And as a result of the wrong focus, you always look at consequences, you always look at outcome, and when the outcome is not rosy, you feel God is very distant. But actually, if you tweak your prayer contents and expectation a little bit, then you will see God is truly at work and you can get closer to God. So, again, I say the whole idea about praying is not to get something very tangible or concrete. Because why? Because the Bible clearly tells us in Matthew also, Matthew chapter 6, that before you even ask for something, your Father in heaven already knows it. So just now I mentioned, what, even things that we don't ask, if God knows that you need it, if God knows that that will be something benefiting to you and can glorify His own name, without you even asking, God will give it to you. So, the idea of praying is not to get tangible things, but to get closer with God. Because as you get closer with God, you realize the assurance, okay, when you get closer with God, you have this amazing assurance that, you know, God will make all things work for your good. Because when you are so intimate with God, you are so assured of His love. You know that no matter you face good things or bad things in your life, God will make sure that thing will serve to bless you, not to harm you. And I tell you, what's the most priceless in this world is the assurance that God is on your side. God will not harm you. God is thinking for you. God is with you. And this assurance will give you unimagined peace and strength as you deal with the demands and the stress of this life. So I pray today why I choose this topic is also because I think the week before last, you're all saying you're very stressed, right? So how do you find support? How do you find strength in stress? It's through prayer, get to hear God more. Feel and be assured of His love, of His help more. If you are so assured of God's love, you can even get this assurance. God is even more kanchong than you about your studies, than you yourself. You know, parents, we know what? If the toddler didn't eat well, who is more kanchong? The toddler don't care. I don't eat veggie, don't eat veggie lor. But the parents is, you must eat vegetable, you know, it's good for your health. So if God, you are so assured that God cares for your future, God cares for your life, God cares to use you to glorify Him, you even can get assurance, God is more concerned about my studies than I myself. So just follow His guidance will do.